Yarn.
Morning, KD2BG.
Glenn, did I get that right?
How you been?
I keep wanting to call you Greg, and I don't know why. My name cracks me. Oh, doing pretty good. Just headed down to the kids' house to leave them some things that I can't eat. Got a colonoscopy scheduled here next week, and so I don't want to see it go to waste.
Unfortunate. Yeah, you got to, takes a day, a couple of days to empty out, I guess. I never had one. Don't really even want to think about it.
We had my sister up until about 8 days before she passed away in our front room, and she died of colon cancer, and it was from a polyp, and, essentially, you starve to death, Glenn. So you think about that, and the colonoscopy is absolutely painless. You know, they knock you out. You're in and out in a matter of about a half hour or so. It takes more time to prep you than it does anything else. The stuff you drink, you started at like 6 o'clock the night before. And it's heck for one night there because you're spending a lot of time on the throne. But for that matter of inconvenience, if you're 50 years old and have any way possible to do it, I'll give you the tip of the day. Do it.
Definitely more than 50 years old, but yeah, never had one done. I don't know if I have no family history, really, but should have it done.
Well, and that means a lot, too, no family history, but even without it, it's highly recommended, but that's up to you. But I'll tell you, colon cancer is not a good way to go. And I've seen a lot of things in my days, but never seen anything any tougher than that, Glenn. Anyways, I look forward to it. I get them every 3 years. My brother-in-law had to do it every year. And like I said, there's virtually nothing to it. Unless you object to having an IV put in your arm. They send you to Na-Na Land in about, 10, 15 seconds. And you don't know nothing.
Bad spot as far as not having any sort of medical insurance that would cover such a procedure, and you know, basically no savings at this point. But you know, I'd have to I'd somehow have to get on Medicaid, and who says they'd want to do it? But yeah, you know, eventually it should be done.
Well, I can understand your position also. And we were poor when we were younger, very, very poor. Still, we're on Social Security now, but I don't consider us being poor. But we're certainly not rich. But yeah, you need insurance. Now, I went through that with an insurance company. I had COBRA. I was between jobs, and I'd never been out of work in 32 years. And I got between jobs when they shut the plant down, and I had to pay the COBRA. And they told me everything was fine, and I was in network and all of that stuff, and I wouldn't let them touch me. Well, then they come up and they wanted to bill me for $1,100 for the doctor and $1,100 for the hospital, and that was many years ago. And I had to fight that for a long, long time. And I didn't want them to mess up my credit rating. And they finally got it settled. I offered to even pay them, Glenn, what the insurance payment would have been, $550. And I had it right in my hand in cash. And they wouldn't accept it. And so I thought, well, we'll just fight this out then. and they lost. And but it wasn't enough money that you could afford to go to a lawyer, you know. That's the bad part.
Because of a lawyer that I lost a house down here, and I lost another house up north because of Deborah's parents. In that case, maybe I should have had a lawyer. So, you know, a lawyer is not something I really want to hear. If they're not incompetent, they're thieves. They're basically, they're felons with law degrees, is what they are. They're the lowest form of life in the universe.
Yeah, I've heard that before. I've never had to deal with it very often. And never been put in that position other than a will, and that wasn't too bad, getting that road out. But I can understand your grief after that. But I would highly disagree that they're not all that way. I have two cousins that are lawyers, and one of them, he's a little, I don't know. None of those I would trust him. He's in Washington, D.C., up there with the crooks. And the other one was a JAG lawyer in the Army, and he is very trustworthy. And he practices law in Florida. But as in life, there's good and bad in everything.
People, Tom, I mostly haven't found them. I've only ever seen, you know, people, I want what you have and I'm going to take it, whether I'm entitled to it or not.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that, Glenn, and I hope the future brings you better things. It's a tough world out there, I'll tell you. But it's a beautiful day today, 77 degrees, and I think we got a couple of other things to do. We're looking forward to seeing the grandkids. We haven't been around them because they was around some other people over the weekend at the lake, and so we just stayed away from them for a few days. So at least we'll get to see them today. This is NGRLTR.
Family that you're still on good terms with, you know, children and grandchildren that you actually that care for you and you care for them, and, you know, and I guess when you get to be older, that's important. I wish I don't even really have that. I kind of wish I did. I'm sorry, I'm starting to sound like a real downer right now, so I probably should shut up and stop spouting.
Sometimes different people go through the hard knocks of life, and you're sounding pretty down. We moved down here to be near the family and my daughter and son-in-law and grandkids, and we have some up in Michigan, and we're very close with them. But back home in Kansas, we had outlaws too, not in-laws, outlaws. So I know what you mean.
Even my stepdaughter, Sage, chooses not to contact me. So, you know, after Deborah passed, there wasn't really anything that, I never had much of a relationship with, you know, the rest of the family. So, yeah, you know, as I said, you at least still got your relatives or back in Michigan or Kansas or here or, you know, one or two other places that you could at least talk to, if not go visit.
Makes life worth living, I'll tell you. But got a lot of other friends down here, and made a lot of friends on ham radio, and there are a lot of good people, too. This repeater's full of good people. I'm sure there are exceptions to that rule, but I haven't met them yet.
Probably true. You know what the funny thing is, Tom? I don't actually enjoy talking to people all that much. I mean, like, when I'm, you know, in social gatherings, I'll be the one off in the corner. But maybe this is okay because It's, you know, there's a layer of distance between you and then the other person. Does that make any sense? You know, I don't do well in social groups or even one on one. I don't do that well socially. I don't know if it's shyness or just what it is.
Well, I don't even know how to answer that. I love people and I love being around people, but right now, unfortunately, that's not possible. But I really enjoy going to the Greer Amateur Radio Club, and I'd go to the Blue Ridge, but the meetings are at night, and I have to drive across town, and I'm fully capable of that, but I just soon avoid it, you know. I'm getting older, and I just don't like to travel that far at night if I don't have to. I can see fine, and I drive fine as far as I know. I've only had 3 tickets in my life, and 2 of those were on motorcycles, so you'll have to figure that one out.
For the last time, I got pulled over for anything either, because, you know, I guess this is NASCAR country. People drive like they're, you know, you can't actually emulate your favorite NASCAR driver on the actual road. But I see all kinds of weird accidents, cars flipped over, people speeding by me, that they're, you know, if you're doing 70 and they come whizzing by you, how fast does that make them? But, no, only tickets I've ever gotten maybe were for administrative reasons. Your tags are expired, that sort of thing.
Got one night, I went up to get my sister. She'd been to take a test for cosmetology or something up in Topeka. I got a ticket at 10:30 at night in Pittsburgh, Kansas for turning left off of Broadway. And there wasn't any traffic. I turned the block early, which it was fine. There wasn't no problem. But you were supposed to go to 4th Street, not 5th Street, to turn left. And it was a two-way street. I wasn't going the wrong way or anything. And then I had one in Wichita, Kansas, and that was for $11 or $14, I forget. I was working at Learjet and bucking rivets for a whopping $1.70 an hour right after high school for a couple of months till I got laid off. And he said, "You sports cars and motorcycles have been causing wrecks lately." And I think I was doing, 9 or 10 mile an hour over. And then I got one, that was illegitimate. And then I got one up on Highway 69, and that one I fully deserved. I was speeding.
Well, I do remember one that was on the, it was on the Sawgrass Expressway in South Florida. Back during the time when the Sawgrass Expressway was still relatively new, there was no development out there, and it was a quick way to get home or go to work in South Miami, because it was, I got pulled over. Do you know how fast you were going? No. You were doing 105 miles an hour. I said, "Really? I wasn't sure this car would go that fast." Which may have been the wrong thing to say, but he, you know, we sort of managed to laugh it off. But that was the only moving violation that I recall where, you know, that was just due to carelessness or stupidity.
And we had some traffic cones set up here and no warning out here by GSB Airport. Send your OTR.
KD2BNG. I'll let you go anyway because I'm getting close to where I got to be. But, yeah, by all means, keep your eye on the road because I've had that happen already, too. I'll be talking to someone just like this and, well, there goes my exit. And you start to, you know, lose track of what you're actually doing.
Roger. Well, this is 6 lanes, and they actually immediately blocked off the fast lane, and no warning. Usually there's a sign up, you know, it says flagman ahead or something, or men working, nothing. And then it went to one lane. After I got in the other one, I had to wait for somebody to let me in. And it stayed a single lane for quite a ways, and then they didn't tell you you could break out into the other lanes. Very highly unusual. What are you looking at? Where at? Oh, okay. Well, the wife's pointing out a helicopter, and I'm trying to drive. Oh, he's hovering right over the highway. I hope he's not going to land over the highway. Wow, just past... let's see, 85 and 14 at the exit here. That helicopter's maybe 500 feet above the roadway.
Highway 14, that's where? Simpsonville? I don't know. Yeah, hopefully you don't land on the highway.
Yeah, he's, well, we're on Buncombe Road, just south of the GSP airport, and there's a medical center down there. What's the name of it? Something at Pelham, I think. And, but he's just hovering above the highway, and normally 1,000 feet minimum above the nearest thing, and now he's starting to move forward a little bit. He might be waiting for clearance to land there. I don't know, or clearance to land at GSP and just hovering. Is it a med flight, Bernice? I can't tell. It's not military. Okay, Glenn, I'll let you go. I don't see any accidents, so that's wonderful. You have a good day, and cheer up out there. It's Ninja LTR clear.
Clear. Oh, good. Timed it well. Here I am. Talk to you later, Tom.